Welcome to Truth Talk Live.
All right, let's talk.
The truth is, I can't hide it. I can't hold it anymore.
A daily program powered by the Truth Network.
This is kind of a great thing, and I'll tell you why.
Where pop culture, current events, and theology all come together.
Speak your mind.
And now, here's today's Truth Talk Live host.
Oh, I love that, don't you? Let's talk. And this is being Truth Talk. It just fits perfectly because this is a live show, but it's you, the listeners, that make it work, as far as I'm concerned. So today's show, we have a little something different. Dial a word or dial a prayer. In other words, in order to talk, it requires words. And I'm one of those people, if you know me well, to know that I love words. I especially love words in Hebrew, and I especially love the Hebrew language. And so I thought, you know, there's a lot of friends of mine that they get stumped on a word. They're trying to study a verse or something, and they're like, man, I wish I knew a deeper meaning of that word. Or, Robbie, can you look this word up in Hebrew for me and tell me what insight you may give me? And I thought, well, man, maybe there's a truth listener out there that's got a word that they would really like some deeper understanding of. They've been studying it this week, or maybe in the past, like Selah, right? Like, it's in the third psalm, and it's actually in many of the psalms. For the first time it shows up is in the third psalm. And it just kind of sits there, and when you look up the meaning, it was kind of nebulous. What kind of insight would you get if you knew how to spell it in Hebrew? And what about each of those particular letters, and what would that mean? Because it's a beautiful thing that Hebrew, from my standpoint, was the original language, right? That God spoke the universe into existence, certainly in the 7 days of creation. And then King David, in the 119th Psalm, he gave us 8 verses on every single letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And so by getting an idea of those letters, and those 8 verses give you some insight into those letters. And so when you look at that word, just Selah in Hebrew, it starts with letter Samech. And that's hugely significant when you think about what the letter Samech means. In fact, if you look in some translations where it's translated Selah, it might say forever. And the reason for that is the infinity sign is this idea of kind of two intersecting circles. And a Samech is a circle, and it has a lot to do with the idea of gravity. It has a lot to do with the idea of being held up. When you look in the verses, the 119th Psalm on the letter Samech, you're going to find 3 of them have to do with that idea of being upheld or being supported. Well, if you think about it, without gravity, you would have no support, right? But it's also a supernatural force, as is eternity. And so you take that into the beginning of the letter and you just go, oh, wow, this is something really deep. This is really heavy duty. That idea of that Samech is telling you, this is probably above Robbie's pay grade, right? And so in digging into these words, like I would love to do for you, and any word that you particularly would like, you dial us 866-348-7884, completely like listener participation on today's show. We need you to call us, or if you have a prayer request, right? Something that you would honor us to be able to pray with you. And of course, we get to the advantage of all the people listening will be praying as well, I'm sure. And so you've got something you feel like the Lord puts on your heart that you would like prayer for, you can dial a prayer. 866-348-7884. Again, dial a word, dial a prayer, right? And so getting back to the word Selah, since I just have been studying that word this week and thinking about it, that the first time you find it is King David is in sort of a pickle. It's in the, as we talked about, it's in the third psalm. And in the second verse is where it shows up for the first time. It says, many there may be that say of my soul, there is no help from him in God, Selah. And some people would say that Selah is a pause. Well, that's interesting because there's certainly a connection to time as there is to gravity, right? That the reason that, you know, we have a day is that, you know, it's the amount of time that obviously it takes the earth to revolve one time. Maybe that's not obvious, but that's how you figure out a day or a year, you know, is the time that it takes for the earth to travel around the sun. So time is very much related to this letter Samech. And so for there to be a pause there, that's interesting. Or for it to relate the idea of forever, that's also interesting. So to move on to the second letter in Selah, and you can hear the S sound in the beginning of Selah, that comes from that letter, Samech. And the second sound you hear is sort of an L sound, right? You hear Selah, and there you have the Hebrew letter Lamed. And that letter is actually the tallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and it has a lot to do with aspiring. It has a lot to do with reaching up, and you find a lot of things that have to do with love and teaching and learning, and a lot to do with your heart, because fascinatingly, the word heart starts with the letter Lamed. And when you, did you ever think about it? When you fall in love with somebody, you sit down across the table and you cannot learn too much about them. And it's the same way with the Bible itself. Like, you want to learn more about God, you read in His Word, right? And so the more that we learn, interestingly, the more we're able to teach, right? You can't teach something you don't know. And so this idea of aspiring and reaching up to God through this idea of learning and loving and all those things that have to do with our hearts, well, now you put the two together and you have this idea, this pause or this idea of something supernatural that's holding things together, supporting things, and then you're aspiring with that. You put them together and you get the idea of Selah, that obviously he was reaching up to God with his question, right? And if you look at most of the time when you see these verses, you're going to see this correlation and you're going to find this idea. And again, I just say that as an example of what we would love to do. We would love to talk. Of course, it's a one-way conversation if you don't call. So I would love, I really would, for you to call in with whatever your word may be, or maybe you got a word you'd like to talk to me that you've discovered some meaning on. I would adore that. 866-348-7884, or again, dial a prayer. 866-348-7884. And to add a little fun, like I always do, if I can, and God gives me a little insight to make fun, or to have some fun. I shouldn't say make fun, Nick, but we have the Hebrew generator that we will, if you call in with your word, then we'll hit a little Hebrew generator noise. When we get to that, we'll be back. But when we get back, I expect some calls so we can talk. We can talk about your prayer request. We can talk about a word that you may want to talk about, or maybe you want to share something you learned. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
Truth Talk Live.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. Today's show is Dial a Word or Dial a Prayer. So you've got a prayer request, something that's on your heart you'd like to share, and allow us to pray with you, give us the honor to pray with you, and our other Truth listeners as well. You call us 866-348-7884. Or if you have a word that you want to talk about or something you want to study a little further, as we were talking about the word Selah, you call us 866-348-7884. So we were talking about that letter, that word. And then as I was talking about right before the break, that we have this Hebrew generator. So when you give us a word, not only will we give a chance to talk about it, but we'll put it in the Hebrew generator. It sounds something like this, right, Nick? There you go. It's generating all sorts of information for you. All you got to do is call us with your word. We would love to put it in the Hebrew generator and begin to, just talk about what's really cool about that word and what some deeper insights we may be able to see. Maybe you've thought about the word Selah before, and we talked about the first letter, which you heard the S, which is the letter Samech, and the middle letter, you can hear the Sel and that L sound is the Lamed, and we talked about that. It has to do really with your heart and your aspirations, and the Samech has to do with time, and it also has to do with support. And the last letter is the letter Hey. So you hear that H sound at the end of Selah, and that letter Hey is simply almost like you just see a little guy standing there with his hand up. Hey, he's expressing something. I mean, you know, it's universal language almost. You can say hey to almost any language, and people are saying hey, hey, hey. And it's just saying that you're wanting to express something. And so that H at the end of Selah is saying that the other two letters are being expressed as they are joined together in this idea of sort of when I really like the idea of this infinite praise, because your heart's going up and you're saying, look, I don't want this to stop. I want to be praising forever. You know, I think it's a neat way to look at the word. How have you looked at the letter Selah? I mean, the word Selah. I would love to know your thoughts. 866-348-7884. Dial a word, dial a prayer, right? Another great word we can put in the Hebrew generator, Nick. So how about the word truth, since we're the Truth Network, right? Let's put the word truth in the Hebrew generator. And away you go. See, it's rolling around. Ah, what kind of wisdom can we get from the Hebrew generation of the word truth? I love that word. I bet you do too. And I know Stu loves that word in so many different ways. Well, the letter truth in Hebrew is a spectacular word on all sorts of levels. It is pronounced Emet in Hebrew. And the idea of that is the first letter in truth is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is an aleph. And the second letter is the letter mem, which is the middle. And interesting, mem is the middle of the Hebrew alphabet by certain ways of counting it, but it's certainly from this idea. And the last letter in truth, or emet, you can hear that T sound, is the letter tav. And you remember when Jesus was talking to John in the book of Revelation, he shows up and he says, right, I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. Well, in Greek, the first letter is an alpha, and the last letter is an omega. But in Hebrew, the first letter is an aleph, and the last letter is a tav. And so it works both ways, that the truth is the truth from the beginning to the end. And it also looks at it this way, that we will know the truth at the end of the story. I love that idea, right? Oh, now I understand. You know, how many times in your life you didn't understand until it got down to the end? Or how many movies did you watch that, oh, I didn't see that coming, because you didn't know the truth? You don't necessarily know the whole truth until you get to the end. But interestingly, the way truth is, it's the word of God. It is Jesus. He said, I am the truth. And so it's really neat to think that the truth is the truth at the beginning. It's the truth in the middle. And it's the truth at the end. And actually, I could probably go on about that word for a long, long time, but I'd much rather talk about your word or your prayer request. 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884 is a number to call in and share. You know, again, we would love to pray with you if you got something on your heart. Some of the neatest prayers I've ever got a chance, either through the Christian Car Guy or Kingdom Pursuits, people called in with situations, and we got a chance to pray with them, and it's amazing the results that I've heard over the years and what God's done in those situations, and clearly He wants to do that for you. But in order for that to happen, you have to pick up your phone. I know it's hard, but once one person calls, here we go. A little more, you know, generation of how that would look. 866-348-7884. Another very neat word in Hebrew. If we want to put that in the generator, Nick. So the word that I would like to talk about just for a minute is the word salvation. So if you put that in there, you can put that. Ah! So the word salvation, which interestingly you find in the third psalm too, in Hebrew, this pronunciation may sound familiar to you. Maybe you know this, that the word for salvation is Yeshua. right? And the idea of Yeshua, you might have heard some people speaking Hebrew when they use Jesus' name, it means salvation. It's Yeshua. And Yeshua is, again, similar to Joshua, but it is a bit different. And it quite often, if you look in almost any place in the Old Testament where it's saying something about salvation, you're going to see, if you look in your concordance or interlinear, or wherever you go to look, that word is Yeshua. It is Jesus. It's almost obviously synonymous. And so when you look at that, you know, second verse of the third Psalm, it says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him. Well, in this case, they use the word for salvation as help, same word, Yeshua. There is no Yeshua for him in God. See how that, it's just so cool to see how many times that you'll see, you know, I've waited on your, it's in the 16th Psalm where they talk about my soul has waited on their salvation. And again, it's waited on Jesus. It's waiting on Yeshua. And again, it's the same word in Hebrew when you think about it. How fun is that? And so we got William is in Ohio. He's got something for us. So William, you're on Truth Talk Live.
Hello.
I'm so glad you called in, and I'm excited about your discussion. So what you got for us?
Well, the word I would like, first of all, I want to say thank you. God bless. I value and appreciate your conversation. It is rather lightful. Thank you. The word I would like is replenishment.
All right. Well, apparently we got to go to a break. And when we come back, I assure you, William, we're going to put that in the Hebrew generator. And please stay on the line because I really want to have this discussion. I'm so excited to talk about replenishment when we come back. So stay tuned. And by all the way, call with your word or your prayer request, 866-348-7884. We'll be right back.
Truth Talk Live.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. We are having fun today with Dial a Word, Dial a Prayer. Like you've got a word, you would like some deeper understanding, or we at least have a discussion. I would love, love, love that. You dial us, 866-348-7884, 866-348-7884. Maybe you got a prayer request. Same number, 866-348-7884. So very, very excited I am that William called in from Ohio with the word replenishment. And fortunately, we have our Hebrew generator right here, William, that we're going to put the word in, replenishment, and let's see what comes out. Go ahead, Nick. So much fun. So wonderful. So I'm curious which verse, because one of the neatest verses is Jeremiah 31:25. Is that the verse you're thinking about where you find that word?
That is not. That is a word that comes to me often and that I think of because our God is a God of new beginnings.
Oh, it is beautiful. Well, let me read Jeremiah 31:25 because I think it's a really cool way to explain it. So, again, it's God is speaking to his people. He says, see, for I have satisfied the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
Amen.
That is beautiful.
And
yeah,
so,
amen.
Even though in English that thing is spelled with a lot of letters, quite often you may know in Hebrew that it takes very few letters to get the same idea. And so, in Hebrew, that word that is translated replenished is pronounced like moolah. And it's funny, it's kind of like, I need some moolah.
Moolah, okay. I thought so, okay.
Or some people would say Melah. You could say Melah, you could say Moolah, but I, you know, just because Moolah, it feels like, Nick, don't you feel like you're replenished when somebody gives you a bunch of Moolah? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I actually do. What an interesting concept.
But anyway, we'll just take the letters one by one and put it together and see what we can see. So the first letter in Melah is the letter Mem, which we talked about in the word truth. It's the center of the Hebrew alphabet to an extent, but it also usually represents water. So Moses' name starts with that letter Mem. A lot of things that, that you would hear that starts with the M, like Mola or Mela, is going to be that, that sound. And Moses, because he was drawn out of the water, right? And so the idea of water in the word are almost interchangeable. And so when you're thirsty for water, and that that Mem is giving you that idea. And interestingly, sometimes water can be judgment, and so sometimes the word of God is judgment, right? But also sometimes the word of God is for the thirsty soul, and that's the way that the letter begins beautifully. The word Messiah, you can hear it, right? It starts with that letter, and you know, in this case, that and the word King, it has two mems in it, right? Same idea. Then that second letter, as we talked about earlier, it is in the word Selah, is the letter Lamed, and it is it does has to do with your heart and has to do with loving and learning and teaching, and so very cool. It's like that almost big huge desire for water, and you'll see where that comes together here in a minute. And the last letter in the word Mila is, and you can hear the A sound, is the Aleph, that first letter again in the Hebrew alphabet, which. If you think about that sound of the Aleph, that A sound, it's often connected to the Father. Mm-hmm. In fact, most of the names of God start with an Aleph because it's Adonai, right? And El is the same idea. And then Father Abraham had many sons, right? It starts without with an aleph as well, but it's also the idea of oneness. Ahad, in the Shema, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one," and that word again, ahad, it starts with that aleph because it has to do with oneness. And so, when you put these things together, you really have this beautiful concept of being filled with water to become one with the Father.
I just want to say thank you for replenishing my heart with kind, caring love. This means a lot to me, friend. Thank you.
Oh, it means a lot to me, but I saved the best part for last. That to me, it's the best part. You take those same three letters in the same order of Mula or Mila, Mela, And you add a hey on it, which means now I'm going to express those three letters. It's fruit. Seriously.
Wow.
And think about the water that's in fruit, right? And you think about the sweetness of fruit. And you think about, like, to be full, to truly be full of the fruits of the Spirit, it's pretty sweet. And, you know, all that comes together for me, and I'm sure for you, we will be studying this stuff for eternity and never even scratch the surface.
Yes. Yes, I am super excited. I'm elated. I wouldn't have a word to really describe it other than how lovely.
Yeah, so, and by the way, William, if you go to ChristianCarGuy.com, you're going to find my contact information. And nobody does what it does for my heart, because I have so many friends that do this to me. Robbie, I'm in the middle of this verse and I can't fit Robbie. I don't, you know, sometimes I get these texts at 4 o'clock in the morning because they know I'm up and they go, help me. You can imagine what it does for my heart to spend some time with what they're doing and be able to. So by all means, my phone number's over there, my contact information. I would be honored anytime you've got something on your heart, anybody, please, you know, God wants to share all this stuff, and anytime I can do it, it honors me. And if you think I've got something wrong, I love that even more because, you know, I don't know everything. I know next to nothing, really. So if you got some feedback coming the other way, I love that too, William. So God bless you.
You have done well, my friend, and God bless you. Thank you for the invitation. I look forward to future conversations.
I hope so. God bless. Bye-bye. All right. 866-348-7884 866-34-TRUTH. What's your word or idea, something you've been studying? We would love your insight. Maybe you got some word that just is always just like, man. So one of the things that I think is extremely helpful for me, that just to tell a bit of a story along these lines, is years ago when I sold cars, you may know I'm the Christian car guy. We're always trying to figure out how to sell more cars. So we bought a lot of books and stuff along those lines. And one of them was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Don't worry, this will connect the dots here in a minute. Just stick with me. And so I got that book. And the genius of Napoleon Hill was he put down in the preface of the book, he said, inside this book is the secret to Andrew Carnegie's millions. And he said, it's written in every chapter of the book, but I didn't write it in plain sight, but it's in every chapter. And when your mind is ready, you will receive it. And it was like he baited Robbie with the biggest hook possible. And I guarantee I read that book at least 7 or 8 times looking for that secret. I know it's in this chapter. It's in this chapter. And once I began to isolate ideas or concepts or whatever, I began to figure out, okay, what is this idea? What was the secret behind Andrew Carnegie's millions? And by the way, Andrew Carnegie's millions were not so much money as they were the idea that I'm going to express here in a minute, which would lead to a great deal of, you know, Andrew Carnegie gave away way more money than most of us would ever think about. So it's best described by this one story of Charles Schwab, who, as it turns out, he ran steel mills. He just didn't do investing. But anyway, he was like the head boss of overall Andrew Carnegie steel mills. And he used to go to steel mill to steel mill to look at what their production was. And he walked into this steel mill that was the worst producing steel mill in all of Andrew Carnegie's steel mills there in Pennsylvania. And he just came in right at the changing of the shift, like third shift, like between 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And as the other shift was coming off, he was coming in. And as they walked out, he asked them this question: how many pourings of steel did you make last night? And they said, we made 6. And so he took a piece of chalk, and on the shop floor, you can imagine the shop floor, this big steel plant, he wrote a gigantic 6, and he walked out of the plant. Well, you can imagine that in's coming the next shift, and they're like, what's up with the big 6 in the floor? And they're like, oh, man, the big boss was just in here, and he asked us how many pourings of steel we had. We wrote down 6. And so they thought, oh, my goodness, we better do better than 6. And so guess what? They did 7. And the following group came in, and they did 8, et cetera, et cetera. And the way the story goes in the book Think and Grow Rich, that within a month, that was the number one producing steel mill in Andrew Carnegie's steel mills. And why? Because everybody got on the same page. They made the main thing the main thing. Once everybody catches the vision, which is what obviously Charles Schwab was doing there, is giving them a vision, then it's amazing what they could accomplish. Because they were all on the same page, and literally they were speaking the same language. Well, at Babylon, those people, when they were all speaking the same language, they hurt themselves, and so God confused their language. And again, we'll develop this thought a little bit more. We got another caller. I'm so excited about their word or their idea when we come back. 866-34-TRUTH.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. Today's show, dial a word or dial a prayer, 866-348-7884. As I was describing right at the end of the segment there, that at Babylon, you see, God confused language, and he gave all these different languages. But interestingly, if you really look at them linguistically and some other things, you'll see that it would appear that Hebrew was what got confused. But if we can get back to that idea and begin to speak the same language, and we can get all on the same page as far as catching God's vision through the Bible, which the more we study it, the more we get on the right page, the more our minds are transformed, and the more that we can bear fruit and be replenished, as the idea of that may be. But, oh, my friend Orlando is calling from High Point, and he's got one of the biggest words there is that I know of to study on its heart. It's fascinating that you would choose that word, Orlando, because I see, is your word beginning?
Yeah, it's Bereshit.
Oh, that's a biggie. We better put that in the Hebrew generator so we can see what we can find, Orlando. Let's see. Let's go, Nick. We got to get it going here. Ah, yes. Ah-ha. Yes, I love it, Orlando. I love it. You're right. Bereshit. So, tell me your insights.
Well, I read Isaiah 46, 9, and 10, and it tells me, remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is no other. I am God, and there is no other one like me. And then it says on number 10, it says, declaring the end from the beginning. So, from ancient time, what is yet to come. So, what I get from this is, he tells us what's going to happen at the end from the first letter of the Bible. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and so it's interesting that you had said Bereshit, because the word for beginning is actually starts with a resh, which is Reshit, but the Torah itself, as you said, it begins with the letter bet. And so when you put that bet in front of Reshit, you get Bereshit, and there's the idea. But it's an amazing thing that the Bible or the Word of God starts with a letter bet, which the first letter is an aleph. So why would the Bible start with a bet? Well, what the Jews would tell you, and again, there's their language, they use it all the time. They will tell you that the bet has to do with a house. And it forms a house, the shape of it. Hebrew is a picture language, and so when you look at a bet, it looks like a house. And they would tell you that God wanted a place to hang out where he could put his feet up and be with his buddies, right? And so he built, in the beginning, he built, you know, the heavens and the earth so that, you know, you'd have an infinite God that would have a finite place to hang out. And so that's why it starts with a bet.
Mm.
That's one way to think about it. And then you have the word Reshit, which means beginning. But here's a neater way for us Christians to think about it from my perspective. This is just Robbie's, but you're welcome to any perspective you want, Orlando, or whatever you think. But the letter bet is begins the word son. Bar.
Mm.
Right? And in many ways that the aleph has to do with wisdom and the bet has to do with understanding. And that you'll find so many places that it's the father and the son. It's the father and the son. And so when I think of the letter bet, I think of the son. And I'm talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
And so who created, right? We know he created everything. And so naturally it would start with a bet. And there you have actually before the beginning, you have the bet. Because you see, it's Reshit is the word beginning, but the bet being before the Reshit, then you got, I mean, the idea is, from my perspective, is he was before the beginning I am.
Mm, now it gets in very deep.
Well, you know, they say it's not safe to dive off the shallow end, Orlando. You know, you got to go in the deep. If you're going to dive in, you want to find it as deep as you can find. And by the way, deep cries out to deep.
Yeah.
And that's when you start talking to me about these things, Orlando, which I love, you know, it cries out to my soul, like, Robbie, let's go deep, you know?
Yeah, it just try to get more understanding exactly. It is infinite things that we don't know.
Right. So to carry on a little bit about, so we just started out with the first letter. We got more. Right?
I'm interested in the last one because somebody told me it's a cross.
Well, there are different ways that you can draw the letters in Hebrew based on what they said are different, you know, over different periods. Some people say it's formal Hebrew, informal Hebrew. There's lots of ways to different look at it. And one of those for the letter Tav, which is the last letter, which is also the last letter. The end of the word beginning is the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which is a tav, which is a cross in certain dialects. But beautifully, in my along those same lines, the picture that's made in formal Hebrew, or what they call Rashi Hebrew, the one you would normally see in most Bibles, or certainly in most Torah scrolls, that one, the letter tav, is made up of a dalid, right? And a nun.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's made up of two letters.
Two letters.
Those two letters spell the word Dan. And the word Dan has to do with judge.
Judge, yeah.
Right, and the tribe of Dan, it left out last in the book of Exodus. And the reason, right, and you start to see the relationship to the letter Tav. And of course, you got the judgment at the end, but what the letter, and this is so hopeful to me, and when you look in the last verses of the 119th Psalm, which are the Tav verses, there's eight verses on the letter Tav in the 119th Psalm, and when you look at those verses, if you read them, you'll see this idea of judgment, but not from a standpoint of looking how I can condemn you, but literally looking for the lost sheep.
Looking for somebody who's lost.
Right. Look, in fact, you know, we like sheep have gone astray. Seek your servant. You'll see that verse in the top section of the 119th Psalm, because what Dan would do is it was the last out, and it was looking for the strays, the people that got left behind, or stuff that got left behind. And the idea of that kind of a judge is you're looking for what got left behind. And think of the hope of that, right? That coming at the end, which is hopefully where we are right now, we should be looking for those that are left behind. And so the cross, it by all means, is the same idea in some ways, but I think it's so beautifully illustrated also. The cross, I guess, couldn't be more beautifully illustrated. However, the word Dan and the idea of that coming judgment is also a beautiful illustration in my mind of and again, if it's so beautiful to me to see that verse in the 119th Psalm, it's telling me, let's go look for the lost sheep, right? And again, at the end, it is, you know, before it's too late kind of thing there. But it couldn't be more true what you said at the very beginning, Orlando, that the cool thing about the beginning is it has the end in it.
Yeah. Like you said before, God is out there laughing.
Right. And, you know, he knew when he formed all these letters before time began, right? And it says in the 119th Psalm that you know, it's an eternal thing, that before all that, you know, we had the Word of God. And
yeah,
it was established in the heavens. And so... Yeah. These letters, the energies and whatever that you know clearly were spoken the whole world into existence, are so real to this day, because again, if it's true at the beginning, it's true at the end, it's true at the middle, it's just plain truth. And I love that idea that Bereshit ends with a Tav. There's other letters in there,
well,
too, but unfortunately, we don't have the time to go into them all.
Yeah, but it is awesome just to chat and just talk about something so special like that of the Word of God.
Isn't it? I I'm sure he is. He's looking down and saying, yeah, you're just scratching the surface, guys. Wait till you go deep.
So, thanks very much, Robbie.
Oh, you're my, oh, you know, we got a boot camp coming up, Orlando. It'd be good to have you out there.
Yes, I know.
All right. It's next Thursday. If you can come, just visit for a day or two. You know, we could shoot slingshots again or something with you, man. We'd love to. I miss you, my friend.
All right.
Thank you, buddy. God bless.
Lord bless. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, this has been very, very, very fun, and I hope it's intrigued you. Man, there's so many resources and so many different places you can get information that will bring richness to your study. And you know, that every single letter is Jesus. And I've heard it said that, again, from Sunday school teacher at our church, at West Ashboro Baptist Church, said, I don't care where you cut the Bible, it bleeds. Well, you begin to study these letters, I can assure you every single one of them is Jesus. It's like the Sunday school answer. He's in there, kind of like Prego spaghetti sauce. It's in there, right? And so as you get a chance to, whether you're studying that first word in the scripture or you're studying whatever word, I assure you in every single letter you will find him. And so those concepts and the beauty of looking for God in his word is a miraculous study. I hope we whet some appetites. And again, I'm so honored that you called in and shared today. We got much more Truth Talk coming up tomorrow. I think we got Peter Rosenberger back. But we're so grateful for you listening today. And have a great God-filled evening. God bless. Truth Talk Live.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.